Welcome to What's a
Blog
Clock
Radio.
Welcome to What the Clock. We are very, very confused today and very interesting today. We are doing a live episode for the first time. I am live on Facebook and I'm live on Blog Talk Radio with you guys. I have never done a live show on Blog Talk Radio, so this is going to be very, very interesting, and I'll probably be super embarrassed. But the nice thing about being live that most people don't realize the first time they go live is that you can always just erase it. And luckily, we're Americans, and Americans have a memory that lasts about this long, just a couple seconds. And so I'm sure by the end of the day, if I screw up, nobody will have even remembered it. So guys, welcome to this episode of What the Clock, a podcast that is devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I am Maya from Frugal Chicken, the website Frugal Chicken. And in today's episode, what we are going to talk about live, apparently, is the fact that the CDC has issued warnings about backyard chickens causing and infecting humans with salmonella. So if you are joining us on the Facebook page, you have the opportunity to sound off below about this topic. And if you are listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, join us on the Facebook page to talk to us about it. The Facebook page is thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook. That will take you right to the Facebook page. All you got to do is scroll down, and you can go ahead and just leave your comments below. There is a few seconds delay between when you type it and when I get it on Facebook. So if I don't reply right away, that's why. So guys, today, let me do my little shtick first. Listen to me. This podcast is sponsored by Manipro Poultry, our best friends at Manipro. We love them because they're doing the heart in front of the Facebook page because their poultry feed is awesome. Their layer feed is awesome. They also have organic, non-organic, whatever you want. They got awesome, awesome feeds. Okay, and they are the official feed of this podcast. Yay! Hi, Tanya. How are you doing? So Tanya has joined us for our live episode here. So guys, let's just move right along. We can babble all I want to about being live, but let's go ahead and talk about this issue of the day. So the CDC has issued a warning for backyard chicken owners, I guess for all Americans, since it's the Center for Disease Control of America, right? It has issued a warning that backyard chickens could cause salmonella or could transmit salmonella to human beings, and that you should refrain from doing things like kissing your chicken, hugging your chicken, and all that stuff. So what I wanted to do first is read the actual warning. Hello from Australia. Hi, Australia. Thank you for joining us. Hey, Tricia, how are you? And I'll read the warning, and so we actually know what we're looking at, right? Because I'm a big fan. So full disclosure, for those of you who don't know, I actually worked for the government for about 10 years. I worked for the U.S. government in the Food and Drug Administration. So I have a certain level of sympathy for the government simply because I worked for a few years. And And so I always like to look at what's been said. The other thing about that is, you know, we all kind of know in our society these days that it's so simple for the media to present a certain piece and blow that out of proportion to the extent where the actual true message is no longer even represented. We can all think of situations like that. And I actually used to write for a celebrity blog where that's what they do. Like that's the whole celebrity, you know, industry is based on taking a tiny little piece of some conversation, misquoting, blowing it out of proportion for the sake of a headline. So I always like to look at what's actually been said. And I know that that's why you guys like me, because that's what I do. I don't like overhype or underhype or whatever. I look at exactly like the straight thing. Hello, Dawn from New Hampshire. Thank you for joining us. So what it actually says is that live poultry such as chickens, ducks, geese, and turkeys often carry germs such as salmonella. After you touch a bird or anything in the area where birds live and roam, wash your hands so you don't get sick. That's actually very valid advice. And if you follow me on the blog at all, you know that that's what I tell people. You know, I have people constantly, like once a week, I have people messaging me and asking me, well, will my birds make me sick? Or another one is, I told somebody earlier, will worms transfer to my kids? And the truth of the matter, guys, is that there is a very real possibility that that could happen. Because chickens, if you don't know, chickens actually do carry salmonella in their feces. So, and they also carry, Campylobacter, E. coli, but so do a lot of other things, right? I mean, let's just be honest here. So it's always really good advice. It's always really, you know, hygiene whenever you go outside, whenever you touch an animal, even when you touch another person, to wash your hands, right? One of the favorite things I like to use is that Thieves hand sanitizer, the hand purifier from Young Living. We all know I love Young Living products. And basically, I wish I had it in here in the studio with me. I don't. I'm sorry, guys. I do. How about that? This is what I use, okay? So this stuff is really good. And for those of you who are joining us on the podcast, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's this tiny little 1 fluid ounce bottle of waterless hand purifier. It's the Thieves line. It has peppermint in it. So you go out, you touch your chickens, you pet your chickens, you give them a hug, squirt, rub your hands, squirt in your hands, rub your hands together, you're good to go. And I've been using this obsessively right now. So that's, you know, it's never bad advice to wash your hands well after you've touched an animal. Because the truth of the matter is that we love our chickens. They are our friends. They give us breakfast every morning. And who doesn't love a pet with benefits? But they are walking around outside. And as we all know, you can get germs from being outside. One person messaged me and asked if the chickens would give their children worms. I think that it's a very low possibility. You know, I'm not a physician, so don't take that as like gospel. I'm not a vet, so don't take it as a gospel. I just know from practical experience, yeah, it's possible, but you know, if your children are running around outside without shoes on, they have a greater likelihood of picking it up from the ground, right? But at the same time, you know, same procedures. If you're worried about it, when you come in, after you touch the animals, after you've walked outside, grab some hand purifier, wash your hands, or whatever, you know, whichever works best for you. Always washing with soap is always a good thing. I use this soap. But anyways, I digress. Washing your hands is never a bad thing. And actually, studies have shown. So let me rephrase it. So studies have shown. I was going to say something that I'm not sure if I should say, but studies have shown that the act of rubbing with soap, without soap, is more beneficial than just kind of slapping your hands together, like putting soap in your hands and walking away. So whenever you wash your hands, you always want to rub them together because it's the rubbing action. The soap helps, but it's also the rubbing action. And they did studies in third world countries like Pakistan, like developing nations like Pakistan. And I remember Pakistan specifically was a study where, you know, what the control group didn't rub their hands, and the non-control group, the variable group, actually did the rubbing motion, and they found that there was a difference in the bacterial load on their hands. So it's always good advice. The next paragraph says, owning backyard chickens, blah, 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 however, children and other groups of people have a greater chance of illness from handling live poultry or anything in the area where they live and roam. So even handling baby birds at stores can cause a salmonella infection. And then it gives you some steps. So how do people get salmonella infections from live poultry, germs in their droppings, which we know, on their bodies because they've been rolling in dirt, right? Even when they appear healthy and clean, germs can get on cages, coops, feed, and water dishes, hay, plants. So people become infected with salmonella germs when they put hands or equipment that has been in contact with live poultry in or around their mouth. So keep your hands out of your mouth after you've touched your chicken, right? Young children are more likely to get sick because their immune systems are still developing, and they are more likely to put their fingers or pacifiers or other items into their mouth. So not bad advice, right? We all know that. I mean, my daughter puts, you know, she goes out and she plays in the dirt, and next thing you know, she's like picking her nose and putting it in her mouth. I mean, we all know what kids are like, right? So always wash your hands with soap and water right after touching live poultry. Don't let poultry inside the house. You're going to have to make that decision, right? I know lots of people who let the chickens in the house. I have a lot of my chickens in the house. It's a decision you're going to have to make. There is a greater likelihood because if the chickens aren't wearing a diaper, they will poop in the house eventually, right? Unless you're consistently letting them outside. That's not good. Letting them outside to poop. If you happen to have house trained your chicken, go for it. But if they're not house trained, they're going to poop on the floor, and that does have the likelihood of transmitting bacterial infections simply because their poop has bacteria in it, right? Avoid kissing your birds or snuggling them, then touching your mouth. So this is why I wanted to read this, okay? This is why I wanted to read this, because this is what I'm talking about things being overhyped, okay? What it says is don't kiss or touch them and then put your fingers in your mouth. So it doesn't say don't kiss or hug them at all. it just says wash your hands after you're doing it and don't put your hands in your mouth immediately, right? Which I think all of us can agree that that is not horrible advice, right? How many of us, I don't know, do you disagree with me? I don't think any of you disagree with me on that point. Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to kind of look at it is because on the web, you know, you're seeing people say, the CDC says not to hug or kiss your chickens. It's not saying that. It's saying don't do it and then put your hands in your mouth. So this is what I meant by people picking up on a little point and then overblowing it for the sake of drama. That's why on this show and in my blog and everything, we kind of deconstruct a lot of these sort of perspectives that you might read about or some of the news that you might read about. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, what it says is go ahead and hug your chickens if you want to. And there's no reason not to, right? You love your chickens. They're, you know, good pets, right? Especially if you have kids, you know, let your kids hug them, let your kids play with them. Just make sure to wash their hands afterwards and use some hand sanitizer to keep them healthy. Trisha says, when in doubt, wash your hands. Yeah, it's super simple, right? When in doubt, wash your hands. And I do it all the time. You're going to be doing it anyway this time of year. It's back to school time. Kids have germs. Kids are transmitting germs, right? So this time of year, you're probably obsessively washing your hands anyway. So it's not too much of a stretch to also wash them after you play with your chickens. It also says, buy birds from hatcheries that participate in U.S. Department of Agriculture and Natural Poultry Improvement Plan, so the NPIP, and the U.S. Voluntary Salmonella Monitoring Program. That's up to you, guys, if you want to do that. Tanya said that she lives on a micro farm with cows, horses, and chickens. I believe it's simply teaching them correct hand washing. On the plus side, there are also studies that show children who are exposed. I can't see the whole thing, but I kind of know she's going. Yes, she's right. I've seen those studies too. There are studies that say that children exposed to dirt, to germs, are healthier. And I'm not a physician, so this is kind of just my own opinion, but I kind of agree with it. We've never on our farm stopped our kids from playing outside, messing with chickens. You know, it's obviously just common sense hand washing. And I'm sure that they are the healthier for it. You know, you don't want to keep them in sterile environments, right? You know, what happens when they go out in the real world? They're going to get germs, right? So, and I totally agree with Trisha. When in doubt, just wash your hands. It's no big whoop, right? So, back to the NPIP certification. I actually know a lot of people who have that certification. It's up to you. I mean, I always tell people, and when you purchase poultry, technically speaking, you're supposed to buy it from a certified location. So any hatchery that's like a big name hatchery, they're going to have NPIP certification. If you want to ship or sell chickens across state lines, you have to have the NPIP certification, to the best of my knowledge. So I always kind of go for those locations anyways, unless I want a breed and I don't want to buy it from far away. I don't want it shipped to me. I want to buy it locally to make sure that the, you know, chickens are okay. This year, we actually did have chickens shipped to us this year, and it was a little bit of a stressful event, a little bit of coordinating because they ship them overnight, but in our area, we don't get overnight shipping at all, so there's no point, right? So I had to spend probably 24 hours. I was in contact with this poor mail lady, the lady that delivers a mail. I was in contact with her constantly about these chicks, and then, so we get the chicks, and everyone's fine, everyone's made it, everyone's alive, yay, you know, mailing chicks in the mail. And a dog kills them like 2 months later. And I said to Larry, I was like, should I just go off and get some more chickens? And I was, you know, it's too stressful. Like mailing them might work for a lot of people. For us, it's just too stressful because I worry about their welfare. So going, and the reality is that the hatchery only, right? It's only 4 hours away, which if you think about it, a chick traveling 4 hours is better than a chick traveling for what basically amounts to 48 hours. So we'll continue to buy from NPIP certified locations, but I probably won't have them shipped in the mail anymore. I have bought chicks locally. So I bought my blue copper Morans locally because they were already, you know, they're already selling them. They're already hatched and everything. And I kind of had, like, I had a better idea of what I was getting, right? So I did buy them locally and they're sort of a mixed bag. They didn't lay so well. We have one left. Some of them have just passed on, and they didn't lay so well. One rooster is really great. The other rooster is kind of a jerk. So that's sort of a interesting experience. Let's go with that. But regarding the hatcheries and the whole NPIP salmonella thing, you know, use your best judgment. That's kind of like my advice on this. Use your best judgment. You know, I don't put personally a lot of faith in the NPIP certification program. I will tell people to buy from hatcheries that have it because it's usually going to be a better quality hatchery. They are going to have certain standards. But as far as it, like, meaning that there's no salmonella or less likelihood of salmonella in the chickens, I don't put much weight in it. I don't put much stock in it. If there's a hatchery out there that would like to give us some insight into that, you know, let me know, message me. I'm all cool with that. We are all about learning here. But personally, as far as salmonella goes, I don't put much stock into it. So the next question then is, how do you like prevent salmonella or decrease salmonella, right? So do you have some options? You probably already know what these options are, but I'll tell you them anyways. Studies have shown, there's been a lot of studies on this because it's really interesting because the industry does a lot of studies on chickens, and they do it basically to make food for human consumption healthier. So they're looking to decrease bacterial loads in chickens. They're looking at ways to make eggs healthier. They're looking at ways for chickens to be healthier so they grow faster. And understand that this is not a, I'm not condoning industry, right? I don't agree with it personally. I don't buy eggs at the supermarket. I don't think it's healthy for chickens. I don't like it at all. But they do put a lot of money into it. That you can't deny that fact simply because there's money in it. So they put a lot of money into studies to determine how to make chickens healthier, how to reduce bacterial loads and stuff like that to grow their businesses, right? So there's a lot of studies that have shown that when you feed chickens fermented feed, it actually balances out the pH in their guts. And the introduction of beneficial bacteria, such as, it's escaping me at this moment. Why? Of course I'm live and it's escaping me at this moment. Lactobacillus, thank you. Lactobacillus. Thank you for the person who put that in my brain. The thing that put that in my brain, lactobacillus. The lactobacillus in it will actually, the more that they get in their system, in their guts, the more that that particular bacteria has an opportunity to breed and to drown out the bad bacteria in the system, right? So there's been a lot of studies that have shown that chickens fed fermented feeds are more likely to have less salmonella in their system. And they study things like salmonella, campylobacter. For those who don't know, campylobacter will do things like, it'll do something similar to salmonella. It'll give you diarrhea, maybe a fever. It'll give you the worst diarrhea you've ever experienced. It is nasty. Ask me how I know, right? It'll do things like reduced E. coli, that sort of stuff. I need to take a sip. One second, sorry. That's the benefit of feeding fermented feed. You can also do things like give them herbs, use essential oils if you're into that. There's a lot of different options, but the big one that they studied as far as salmonella goes and, you know, bacteria in the gut is with fermented feed and actually apple cider vinegar as well. So apple cider vinegar is something that you can give your chickens once a week, once a day, whatever you want. Once a week minimum. Let's just go with that. Once a week minimum. I know people who do it once a week, and I know people who do it every day. We do it about once a week here, especially in the summer, because there's not been a lot of studies that have shown this. It's not really been studied. Let's go with that. It's not really been studied how apple cider vinegar will affect chickens' health in the heat. So I kind of just go for once a week to be on the safe side. Tanya asked me how much I recommended fermented feed. Every day, if possible. If you can't manage that, what you can do is ferment a bucket, depending on how many chickens you have, right? Every 2 or 3 days, you can start a new bucket and just feed it as, you know, part of their meal mixed with other feed. Some chickens do object to the texture of it. So if they're not brought up with it or just whatever reason they find it too watery, mixing it with regular feed can help reduce some of that goopiness of it that they kind of object to and make it more palatable for them. So that's, you know, you can really feed it as often as you want, every day, every other day, once a week, something like that. You know, whatever it kind of takes to, well, I shouldn't say that, whatever it kind of takes, because how would you know that, right? But I would go for a once a week minimum. Let's go with that. And if it turns into part of your everyday, like, you know, let's say you have four chickens and you know, start a bucket on Sundays. You know, you can go ahead and continue to feed them out of that bucket. It becomes part of something that you do, your routine. It becomes less of a hassle. Diane asked if I feed my ducks fermented feed also. You can. I have not. I might want to start thinking about that. But yeah, you can feed it to your ducks. And the nice thing about ducks is that actually it would be a little bit easier than chickens because the ducks scoop. You know, they sort of have like this, they don't peck like chickens do, right? Because they don't have the same bill structure. The beaks are different. So ducks would actually probably have less of an issue with the goopiness than chickens tend to have. Trisha asked if I have a fermented feed video. I do. What I'll go ahead and do is at the end of this episode, I'll put a link below where you can go ahead and grab that. I have a couple of different resources for that. So that's the deal. Let's go back and look at this a little bit more and see what else the CDC says about whether or not backyard chickens can give you salmonella. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, so here's the thing about the CDC. They have to issue these warnings because that's kind of their job. So however ridiculous we might think it is, yeah, it's kind of their job, right? And there are persons out there, chickens are people, that's not what I meant, obviously. Like children, for example, pregnant women, people who have depressed immune systems, elderly people, they are more likely to get, if they're exposed to something like this, they're more likely to get an infection that will cause problems. So that's really kind of, I think, where this warning comes from. It comes from a place of just educating the public. And the truth of the matter, guys, is if you are experienced with chickens, you know this stuff. It seems ridiculous. There's a lot of people out there that actually are not experienced with chickens and might not know this information. I had somebody earlier this week, and I'm not making fun of this person. This is just an example. They messaged me and asked if their chicken had a tumor. And they said, well, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. I'm not sure what it is. And I said, is it on the right side of the chicken? Could it be a crop? And she said, yes, it's probably what it is. I directed her to an article where she could read about all of this. And actually, I think today's article is about chicken anatomy. So it's not gross anatomy. It's just like drawings, basically. So if you wanted to learn more about it, you can go on the blog at thefrugalchicken.com and see it. But there are people out there who really just don't know this stuff. So part of their job is just issuing a public warning. However ridiculous us experienced chicken people might be, there are people who might not know it, or people who might not think about it, or people who don't bother educating themselves about the pet and don't realize that if the kids pet the chickens and then put their hands in their mouth, they're possibly communicating a bacterial infection. So I'm just reading this real quick. Shell eggs may be contaminated with salmonella in the laying process once the eggs are laid through poultry feed or bedding. This is true. Studies have shown that when your chickens are fed fermented feed, they are more likely to have a reduced amount of salmonella in their eggs. So that you know, they always say, don't eat raw eggs because they can give you salmonella. That's kind of, you know, it's true, but I know in Europe and in Japan, you know, parts of Asia, they eat raw eggs, and they've done it historically for generations. I've also eaten raw eggs. There's a Japanese dish you can make that has rice. It's a breakfast dish. You can take rice, put it in a bowl. You add an egg with the egg yolk. You know, you scramble the egg and the egg yolk, raw, obviously, and just mix the whole thing in. Add some rice vinegar and maybe some sesame seeds or whatever you want in there, and you're done. And that's a very traditional breakfast in Japan that people eat every day. So, you know, studies have also shown that the incidence of actually getting salmonella from eating eggs is very low. So the whole thing that we're talking about here is it might happen, but it might not, right? So if you are concerned, you know, again, studies have shown that chickens with a higher lactobacillus load in their gut are less likely to lay eggs infected with salmonella. You know, industry has studied this because obviously industry is interested in this. Nobody wants the liability. I mean, it's America, right? People don't care necessarily about our health. They care about liability. Nobody wants the liability of, you know, infecting somebody with an egg that has salmonella in it, or they don't want to lose eggs and lose, you know, basically, you know, products they can sell. They don't want to lose it to salmonella, right? So, I mean, if, I'm sure that I don't know this part of the egg industry, but I'm sure if like a certain proportion, you know, they test them and they are not good, they might have a bacterial, you know, contamination in them, they probably got to throw away the whole lot. So that is why they care about this stuff. So fermented feed, washing your hands, pretty simple stuff. Always wash your hands with soap and water after handling eggs, chickens, or anything in their environment. Now, this also begs the question, now I'm sure you guys may be thinking, what about the bloom? So is there bacteria in the bloom? It's possible. Because the bloom, for those who don't know what the bloom of an egg is, it's an outer casing of basically protective material that protects the egg from getting infected by bacteria from the external environment. And it's an evolutionary thing where, you know, the eggs have it on there are more likely to produce chicks because they're not contaminated with bacteria. So I don't recommend washing off the bloom because it helps keep the eggs better longer. They actually did a study in, I think it was in Nigeria, where they were trying to figure out, you know, obviously in certain parts of the world, developing nations, there's people who don't have access to refrigeration. So then the question then becomes, how do you, you know, help these people preserve the food that they have made for themselves in order to, you know, better feed them? So they did a study in Nigeria where they covered eggs without the bloom, or sorry, they covered eggs with the bloom in shea butter and mineral oil. And they had different study groups going, like different, you know, cohorts going, right? And they found that eggs with the bloom that were covered in shea butter stayed good in the heat, outside, non-refrigerated for 52 days before they were not edible anymore. And not edible meaning not edible by Western standards. So it wasn't like they were kind of edible, but kind of not. They were, you know, they were beyond the point where we in the U.S. would consider it acceptable to eat from our dietary standards. So the bloom does a lot to protect the egg. So I don't recommend washing it off just because there might be an off chance that it causes salmonella. You know, again, I'm not a physician. I'm not a vet. I'm not any of these things, but that is my personal opinion. There's more studies that have shown that not washing the egg helps it stay healthier than washing the egg does. There's people who will debate that with me, but that's life. Life is about debate, right? That's America. That's what we do here. It also says maintain a clean coop. Cleaning the coop, floor, nest, and perches on a regular basis will help to keep eggs clean. That's also good advice, right? So that's why I wanted to read this and kind of discuss it with you guys, because they're not saying don't have chickens. They're not saying don't touch your chickens. They're just saying practice basic sanitary standards, which, you know, that's reasonable, right? and obviously, you know, you definitely want to maintain a clean coop. Having a clean coop will help reduce, you know, you getting sick. It will help reduce your chickens getting sick. Chickens transmit a lot of diseases to each other and to themselves by their feces. So an example of this is sauerkraut. Sauerkraut is caused by a fungus that, and there's a lot of different things that can happen with sauerkraut, so we're just going to talk about one aspect of it, but they can pick it up in their feces. So they pick it up on their foot, they get an infection, or they eat some grain that has been in another chicken's feces, and it can cause sauerkraut and create a culture where the fungus can thrive and create sauerkraut. So it's never a bad idea to clean your chicken coop. It says collect eggs often. Eggs that spend a significant amount of time in a nest can become dirty or break, which is true. We all know that that's true. Or your chickens can eat them, which is something that happens a lot. A lot more than I like it to happen around here. This is very interesting, you guys. I am going to read this to you, and you guys are going to be like, what? It says, eat eggs with dirt. Or let's try this again. Eggs with dirt and debris can be cleaned with fine sandpaper, a brush, or a cloth. I don't recommend sandpaper because it can, excuse me, I've got to take a drink for a second. The cloth, or sorry, the sandpaper can actually wipe away that blood. But it also says, don't wash eggs because colder water can pull bacteria into the egg. That is so interesting because you always hear, like, the thing with the egg industry is the eggs have to be washed. The eggs have to be washed, right? They have to be washed, they have to be sterilized, they have to be perfect. Other countries don't do that. It's a U.S. phenomenon. That is so interesting that the CDC says do not wash the eggs. Refrigerate eggs after collection and cook them thoroughly. Raw and undercooked eggs can contain salmonella bacteria that can make you sick. Know the local regulations around sale of eggs. If you sell eggs, it's important to follow local licensing requirements. That's not bad advice either. That's good advice. So that's so interesting. Because I would have said that I would have thought that they would have told us to wash eggs because the industry is so obsessed about it. But no, the CDC says don't wash. That's so interesting. They say don't wash your eggs because it can pull bacteria into there. That is so interesting. So they actually agree that the bloom will protect the eggs. That's so fascinating. So, but I do disagree with the sandpaper. The best thing to do is if it's got a lot of poop on it, which if you clean your nest or you like have pine shavings or herbs or whatever in your nesting boxes, it's less likely to happen. If you keep it clean, it's less likely to happen. But we all got that one chicken, right, that wants to lay on the floor. The best thing to do with the eggs is kind of just try to wipe it off. If it's got like dirt caked in it, you might want to reconsider eating that egg. Ones like that, I usually give to my pigs. Because I'm just kind of like, wow, we get so many a day. I don't really need to mess with all the dirt on it, right? It says a brush or cloth. You know, one thing that you could do is just take a cloth and kind of like wipe it. Like, let's say like there's a fine dust of dirt on it, right? Just take a cloth and wipe it off. It's not a big deal. Brushing the same thing. It depends on the brush that you have. That seems like it's very tedious work to accomplish something that could be done with a cloth. But I suppose you could take a brush and softly brush it. But if you're going to like hard scrub it, you're going to wash off that bloom. So I'm not so sure about that one. What I do, like I said, is like if it's a duck egg and it's super dirty, because duck eggs are a little bit harder to come by here and I like them because they're bigger. If a duck egg is super dirty, I will wash it and then refrigerate it. So I'm kind of not following the CDC specifications on that. I will live, I'm sure. But with chicken eggs, you know, if it's dirty, I pretty much just don't eat it. I give it to my pigs and they're happy. They're already living in mud anyways, right? So that is interesting. So the CDC does say, do not wash your eggs. That's interesting. We'll be doing an article about that, guys. That's so weird. That's weird that they said that too, though, because usually they want to have, then again, you know, these government agencies, they're never consistent about anything, trust me. So let's just read the signs and symptoms of salmonella infection. I'm sure you're going to pretty much know when you got it because you're going to have stinky diarrhea. We don't make any bones about the reality here, right? So signs of salmonella, according to the CDC, I'm not a physician, so this is from the CDC. Diarrhea, vomiting, fever, abdominal cramps. Sometimes people can become so sick from a salmonella infection that they have to go to the hospital. Children younger than 5 years, adults older than 65, and people with weakened immune systems, including pregnant women, it's always important. I know as women, we say, oh, we're fine. You do have a harder time biting off stuff when you're pregnant, so it is a population that should be remembered. They're more likely to have serious illness from salmonella. And there's a lot of other information on here, blah, blah, blah. So that's the deal, guys. To recap, your chickens might give you salmonella, because they got it in their gut. That's life. We all got it, right? I mean, I looked it up last night. Even like dogs and other animals, will have it, right? Other barnyard animals. So they probably have a salmonella load in their gut already. Just wash your hands, practice basic safety, practice basic hygiene procedures. Be sure to rub your hands to reduce that bacterial load. The rubbing is very important. Use either soap and or hand purifier. This is my favorite stuff. Whatever you want. The hand purifier is really good because it's quick and the kids won't make a mess with flinging water everywhere. Tanya said, what is your opinion on the timing of these warnings in spring chick days and now, which I have noticed a lot of hatcheries are having sales. Okay, hold on a second, guys. Because I can't read the whole thing. It's not letting me read the whole thing. So let me go onto the Facebook page really quick so I can read her full question. Unfortunately, it is a flaw with my tablet here. So let me just go on real quick to read her full question so I can answer it. I can't guarantee I'll have an opinion, but I usually have quite a few of them. We all know that, right? My computer just takes a second to load up here. All right. It's not showing me your comment, Tanya. Why is it not showing me your comment? Well, okay. I might have to come back and look. Hold on. All right, here we go. Okay. Let me show you that sound. There we go. Okay. So Tanya said, what is your opinion on the timing of these warnings in spring during chick days and now, which I've noticed a lot of hatcheries are having sales and couple stores are also having late summer chick days? I think the timing is probably because people are going to be buying chickens. So hold on, let me turn off the Facebook page. I can see myself talking to myself alone. It's a little distracting. I think that they issued these warnings specifically because backyard chickens are becoming trendier, and they probably have seen a rise in recent years in reports. So the hospitals, you know, as well, if you don't know this, hospitals will report things like this to the CDC, or they get some data somehow from the CDC. And so I'm sure that they issued it specifically at those specific times when people would be buying chickens to warn the general public about this potential issue. I don't think that there's anything particularly nefarious in it. I don't think that they're doing it just to dissuade people from buying chickens. I just think that they're doing their job in alerting the public that this is a possibility. Like I said, it is becoming a trendier thing. It's becoming a trendier thing with like millennials, right? So people who are in their early 20s, maybe they don't think about stuff like this. I don't know. You know, women, you know, people who have children are more likely to think about things like this. If you are brand spanking new to the chicken world, and there's a lot of people who join the chicken world every year, believe me, like I probably get one email a day from somebody who says, I'm brand new to chickens. I just got them the other day. Here, you know, they're having some question or some issue. So I don't think that the timing is coincidental. I think that they definitely issued it as, who is calling me? Sorry. I think that that it's not coincidental. I think that they're calling. My phone was going off. I got distracted for a second. I think that they're definitely doing it to warn new chicken owners. Maybe I don't think it's coincidental. So, I hope that answered your question. But just to recap quickly, guys, because we're at the 45-minute mark here. Yeah, I made it 45 minutes. I was a little concerned how I was going to talk about something that seemed like such a simple topic when I started. I was worried about how I was going to talk about it for 45 minutes to an hour, but I have somehow managed to do it. I made my goal. So just to recap really quickly, your chickens do have the possibility of giving you salmonella. I think it's a pretty remote possibility based on my experience. I mean, I handle chickens every day. I've done it every day for years. I've never gotten salmonella. And I know that there are people out there who will say, you can't do it based on that, blah, blah, whatever. Okay. I think based on all the studies too, that it's a pretty remote possibility, but it's still a possibility. So practice good hygiene measures. You know, you touch your chickens, you clean the, just go inside and wash your hands. Again, scrubbing is very important. Wash your children's hands. The hand purifier is good for that because my kids like to fling water around. I don't know if yours do, but the hand purifier sort of reduces that mess. And then, you know, don't put your hands in your mouth after you've touched them, right? That's pretty much all it boils down to. And then if you are still concerned about it, you can feed fermented feed, which has shown in studies to reduce the salmonella load. Also E. coli, Campylobacter. Because it provides an environment for healthy bacteria to grow. And that'll make your chickens healthier also. All right, guys, so that's sort of the breakdown of this. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Do go ahead and leave a comment below. If you are watching us on the Facebook page, please do leave a comment below if you want to continue the discussion. I will be popping in and out every day. If you are listening to me on Blog Talk Radio, thank you very much for hanging out with me. We will be back. I'm not sure I'm going to be back tomorrow, but I'll definitely be back on Friday. My husband goes to school tomorrow, so I'm with my daughter all day, and that's always sort of a, anything can happen when my daughter's around. She's three. But I'll be back by Friday. I'll be back on Friday, and I don't know what we're discussing. We'll figure it out between now and Friday, but it will be fun. And, just if you've gotten value out of this episode, if you've enjoyed it, please share it with somebody that might want the information. It is always good to share. Sharing is caring, right? And I will go ahead. I'm going to go now, and I will see you guys on Friday. Bye.